not interested in leaving Butte. So we didn't want to follow biodiesel jobs around the country. We wanted very much to stay in our community. And John was very brokenhearted, having worked so hard for his previous employer and having not been responsible for the outcome. You can work very hard, but when you are not actually a driver at the company, when you are not a decision maker, you're in a really difficult spot. And when things go south, you you wonder if you could have done more or could have done something better or different. And ultimately, you wind up feeling sort of powerless. And that was a position that neither one of us wanted to find him in again. And that was the impetus for starting a business of our own, being able to stay here, make jobs for ourselves, make jobs for other people, and be the masters of our own destiny from that perspective.
And why spirits, of all the options you probably had?
Well, John's background, the company that he worked for before, distilled biodiesel. So they essentially made large refineries that that produced biodiesel through a distillation process. So John had knowledge of large-scale distillation, which is rare in the microdistilling industry to walk into the industry with knowledge of the distillation process. Many people pick that up as they decide to get into the business. We felt like we had a leg up by already having that knowledge and experience.
Of course, a lot of people, Courtney, would love to be masters of their own fate and have their own business. And a lot of people think about that. But thinking about it and making it happen and facing all the challenges that presents, what do you think gets you over the hump of doing that and actually taking the leap?
Well, the decision-making, Sally, was really the easy part. It truly was the night that we had the idea that we were very sold on the concept. I had run an IT company for about 8 years before that, so I was comfortable with the idea that I could handle business management on a larger scale. That part wasn't intimidating to us. The part that was challenging was really sticking to our conviction, continuing to believe in ourselves, and in the plan that we'd put together through almost 12 months of bank rejections. So we were a very difficult project to get financed. You know, in 2010, when you walked into a bank and said, "I want a large amount of money to start a new business in a relatively unknown industry that you as the banker are going to have a hard time finding historical data on," the answer was no over and over and over again. And for me personally, that was probably the most challenging part, continuing to believe in myself and believe in our vision in response to no after no after no.
Well, you can't really, of course, blame the bankers, but how did you get them to say yes?
We found a bank that recognized our project for what it was, recognized that what we were doing was value-added agricultural manufacturing. So somebody who was willing to look at us as an ag project and willing to work with us and get creative to build a package that was going to work for them and work for us. And we're really grateful to them for participating. Part of that process, too, included assistance from the SBA, Small Business Administration, correct. Our loan was in part an SBA 504, which means that the SBA guaranteed 35% of our project cost there. So we were required to put up 15%, and the bank then was only obligated to put up 50%, which we couldn't have been successful in funding our project if it weren't for the assistance of the SBA.
And you, I understand, wanted to start small, but you actually have grown at a pace that you never expected, right?
That's very, very very true. We anticipated that that it would be probably about 12 months or so of my husband and I working together, of me continuing to run my consulting company part-time, and it would be the two of us, and maybe after 12 months or so, we could look at giving my husband a paycheck. Instead, we began hiring people when we'd been open less than 3 months, and we put 5 people on staff that very first day. We are at 24 people right now, with the 25th coming on next month, and I'm really proud to be able to say that we've created one job for each month that we've been open.
Why do you think it's taken off so well? I mean, obviously you have a product that people like.
We do, but we've also built a really diverse business model. So we produce 5 spirits here that are our own Headframe brands, and we operate a tasting room in Butte here where folks can come in and sample what we do. And, of course, we distribute our product throughout the state of Illinois as well, and we're working on distribution in Canada. We have a small presence in Washington State as well. But we knew right off the bat that we wanted a degree of diversification. So part of what we do at Headframe is we manufacture distillation equipment. So we build stills for other micro distilleries. So we manufacture equipment for our industry. This is a great time to be a distillery, that there's a boom nationwide in folks interested in micro spirits the way they were in micro beers, you know, starting as early as 25 years ago and continuing right up through today. So we carry a really diverse business model, which accounts for a lot of our large staff.
And it's true that it's a booming industry in Montana and nationally. I think just a few years ago, there was no distillery in Montana, and now there are several.
That's correct. Goodness, I believe there are about 15 to 17 federally licensed entities in the state of Montana, which is a really big deal. When we got our license about 2.5 years ago, we were the 12th. So there are a number of new entities who have come online after us, and even more who are anywhere from concept to working on their paperwork and licensing right now.
And understand that history of Butte is something that is very important to both you and John, and that you have incorporated that history into your company. And in one way, you've done that with a very historic bar in your tasting room, right?
We are so fortunate to get to display the Rocky Mountain Bar in our tasting room. That is a project that we worked with the World Museum of Mining here in Butte on. The museum had the bar and did not have a good place to display it. We had a great place to display it, and so we have the bar on long-term loan from the Mining Museum.
And for those who are not Butians, tell us more about the bar and why it's so historic.
The bar came from the Rocky Mountain Cafe. The Rocky Mountain Cafe was in the Italian neighborhood of Meaderville. Folks back in the mining days tended to live with other folks from their same home countries, so folks that spoke their same language. And Meaderville was where the Italians lived. As the pit expanded in Butte, as the Berkeley pit, the surface mining expanded, it took over, absorbed lots of different ethnic neighborhoods in Butte, and Meaderville was one of those. So truly houses were lost, families were displaced to allow mining operations to continue to grow. And when Meaderville was absorbed, the World Museum of Mining was a relatively new entity at the time, and the bar, rather than being just lost to history, was donated to the museum. So the museum has had possession of this bar since the early 1960s.
And you name your spirits after some of the old mines in Butte. There's the Orphan Girl Bourbon Cream Liqueur and the Never Sweat Bourbon Whiskey. I love those names.
Thank you. We really see our company, the purpose for our company, to add value to our community. So we see that from a current and future perspective, but we also see that really as a, you know, from a historic perspective as well. There are lots of folks in Montana and in larger areas as well, that you know, if they know anything about Butte, they know it as a mining town. They know it as a Superfund site, and we believe very strongly that Butte has a much bigger and more interesting story to tell than just that. So for us to use our bottles and our products to share Butte's story is really wonderful. We also work very hard to reinvest in our community to make sure that the company that we operate continues to add value to our community. For example, we donate a portion of the proceeds, each bottle of our Orphan Girl Bourbon Cream Liqueur, to the World Museum of Mining.
I also read that you and your husband want to make sure that you pay attention to the good fortune you've had with your company and that you tell each other every day, quote, don't get cocky.
That's one of my husband's favorite things to say. This has been a bigger and more exciting project for us than we had ever anticipated. We never expected the level of public recognition that we've received. We never expected the response from the community that we've received. It's really a wild place to be for us. We planned for a year and a half before we even received financing for our project. We built a business model. We built a plan. We kicked the tires on our plan. We further researched. We toured other distilleries. We made case studies of every business that we'd worked for, that our friends and family had worked for, other businesses in Butte and around Montana. We really did our homework and thought that we'd built ourselves a really well-thought-out business plan, and never once did we anticipate the level of success that we've achieved. And then John and I have personally received recognition, being selected as the 2013 Montana Entrepreneurs of the Year is a really big deal. So it's important to us that we be really mindful that the success that we've had comes from the support that we've received from the community, from Butte Silver Bow government, from state government as well, and that we be mindful all the time that this project belongs to many more people than just my husband and myself.
Well, you have a great story to tell, Courtney, and I have been speaking with Courtney McKee, who, with her husband John, have been selected Montana's Entrepreneurs of the Year for 2013 by Governor Steve Bullock and the Montana Ambassadors, and will receive that award in March at the Big Sky Resort. Well-deserved, and Courtney, congratulations, and thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you very much, Sally.